Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I hope you have your Bible there. Open it up. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And I'd like to speak to you this afternoon on the work of preparation. On the work of preparation. How many of us, and again, I can't see you, but I can just envision asking this in a full auditorium, you know, packed and jammed. I haven't said packed and jammed in a long time for in relation to an auditorium. But how many of us just love preparation? You know, I don't know many people that love preparation. You know what we love? We love to do whatever it is that needs to be done. But then even greater than that, we love when it's done and we can look at it and see, look, this is what, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's a project, a work project, a construction project. It could be a big event that's upcoming, and preparation, preparation, preparation. Nobody really likes the preparation part of it, because really that's so important. In whatever it is you're doing, the preparation is vital, and it is work. Now, I don't know about you today, but I would think that we would agree that we stand here today in 2021 as God's people. We're here. We're not in heaven yet, soon possibly, but we stand in great need of something. You've heard it said. Maybe you've heard it said over and over again. Maybe you've heard it said more since March of 2020 than you've heard it said in any one-year period of time in your lifetime, that we stand in great need of revival. Maybe you've heard that said. Maybe I've said it more. I don't really know. I know that I listen to different podcasts most every day, and I listen to preaching every week, and I must admit to you that probably I've heard it said by other people more in the last 12 months than maybe I've ever heard it said in 12 months of my life, possibly. I haven't been keeping track, okay? But it's been very regular. It's probably been at least weekly that I've heard a preacher say, we are in need of revival. We are in need of revival. God, the coming revival. And really, that's kind of what, as God directed me to this passage of Scripture, we'll look at it here, and God willing, the application will, God's Holy Spirit will tie it all together. But the preparation of it. Look, you know that we've been working here for the last over a month, okay? And I guess it's maybe 6 weeks, give or take. And praise the Lord for what's been done. But again, I don't mean, I'm not joking right now. I'm really serious about it. That Pastor Nathan, the clipboard that we made fun of, you know, we were kind of teasing about that. But that's serious, because that's the preparation. That's the think tank, right? You don't just walk into a project and it's just, you just start, okay, everybody, do whatever you think you need to do. That's going to be a mess. There's got to be some preparation. And you could name that about anything that you've ever been a part of. Preparation is work. When it comes to a spiritual awakening, reviving, renewing, whatever word you want to use, I guess awakening, maybe that's not the word, but a spiritual renewing, a reviving, that's not how it works then either. Okay, I'm ready for revival now. But are you really ready for revival? I don't know if that's the case for me. I don't know. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. But to say that you're ready for something, okay, follow this. To say that you're ready for something means you've prepared for it. You know, we have this wedding coming up, March 20th. Believe me, there's been some preparing. We pray that we'll be ready for it on March 20th. And it's exciting. That's a good thing. We're thankful for it. It's a blessing. But there's preparation. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, please, if you will, in verse number 3. The Bible says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. What's the next two words? Prepare ye. Would you say those with me? Ready? prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Notice the colon at the end of plain. Okay, the thought continues, right? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. When what happens in verse 4 takes place, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Right? Verse 5. This is a prophetic passage. We'll talk about that. I believe we can make application for us too. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The work of preparation. Heavenly Father, thank you for these few moments now. I pray that you'd help me to just stay exactly where you want me to go and point me in the right way. And even if it's not anything written down, please put it in my heart that this would honor you and glorify you, and that we would prepare, that we would be willing to be transparent, that we would be willing to be open to you so that we can prepare for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In my time of reading the New Testament of the Word of God, we have the Old and the New Testament, right? In reading of the New Testament, which was the establishment of the local church, happened with Christ and his disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. We've been looking through the first century church lately in the book of Acts. You could probably say, and maybe depending on how you looked at it, I don't know that we ever see a revival in the New Testament church in the sense of what we're looking for today. I mean, there may have been some indications of revival that were taking place, but a revival meeting per se. In the Old Testament, revivals in the sense not in a church, but revivals were quite often. They were different than what we would call revivals today, but they would always happen on the heels of a time of national disobedience. The nation of Israel would get further and further and further and further away from God, and then revival would come. Could we not look at our nation today, this country that we live in? Could we not look at potentially the church today? As we talked about it this morning, and again, we have to be concerned about our own personal walk in Anchor Baptist Church, but could we not be in a place today? Are we not in a place today of great need when it comes to our country, whether it be politically, whether it be socially, definitely whether it be, what we know it is, spiritually? We need revival. Not only in Canada, we need revival. Not only in British Columbia, we need revival at Anchor Baptist Church. But most importantly, I need revival in me. And you need revival in you. We will not have revival because in the past, we missed it this week, we missed it this year, we missed it dearly. This was the year to have Brother Randy Chauvin in. And of course, we had Dr. Rick Flanders last year in some meetings. But we know, as we've said it over before, just setting aside a week of time and saying these are our revival meetings. And there's nothing wrong with calling them that. But it is not a revival meeting simply because on the calendar it says revival time. It's not a revival meeting because special preachers come in or special singers come in or you know, whatever, that we do special advertising and all of that. No, the genuine revival is when God moves sovereignly among a spiritually prepared people. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared for the coming revival. I want to be prepared for the revival that God is going to send. Now, the passage of Scripture that we read about today is the prophet Isaiah is the human penman under the inspiration, of course, of the Spirit of God. And he is writing about the coming of the Messiah. He is writing about what was partially fulfilled through the ministry of who do you think? Do you remember who it is in the New Testament who said something about prepare ye the way of the Lord? Do you remember that? John the Baptist, all right? John, don't miss sight of that. John the Baptist, okay? And let's actually take our Bibles now, and we'll come back to Isaiah, but let's turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. And here we see the writing about exactly what was just we just read in Isaiah chapter 40. And the Bible says verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Notice, verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. So you could write a note here in your Bible if you have room. Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. Or Isaiah chapter 40, and you can go back and you can see it as we just read it just a moment ago. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. So again, prepare ye the way. Verse 5, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So, Isaiah is saying, this is coming. John is saying, it's here, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And so, these verses from Isaiah partially were fulfilled through the ministry of John the Baptist. He was preparing the people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate fulfillment of these verses of Scripture will be when Jesus comes to rule as King of Kings and set things right in the world, and this will be the greatest revival that the world has ever known. So, now, what about us today? Let's go back to Isaiah, and really you could compare John or Luke 3, 5 with Isaiah 40, verse 4, but let's go back to Isaiah. Earlier we said this, that we agreed that we need God to move in our midst. We need God to revive us. We need God to revive. And again, don't make it about anyone else. Make it about yourself. Now, let's look at verse number 5. This would be the blessing. This would be, if you will, the revival. This would be the end result of the preparations. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. You see, a revival that comes to the church of God, referring to you and me, it will be seen by the whole world. It will be known. It will be experienced by they. I'm not saying they will be revived, but they'll notice something is greatly different about that individual. Something has happened to you when you go to work. What happened to you yesterday as you walk into work on Monday and you've got a little different step about your walk? And there's a different glow, if you will, on your face. They can see it through the mask even. It's so bright, right? And God is definitely doing something. Look what it says here. It says, and all flesh shall see it together. Because why? It's not you. They're seeing the glory of the Lord. They're seeing the revival that is taking place on the inside. It is now manifesting itself on the outside, and everyone can see that something is different about you, and something is different about me. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So that is what we see and what we desire and what we need. We need the blessings of the Lord, and these blessings, I personally think we can apply this and say that this, that for us today is the blessing of the reviving that we need. Now, verse 5 is what we want, you know. That's what we need. That's what we desire because we want to give God the glory for it. But, wait a minute now, preparation comes before that. Look in verse 4. Verse 4 is the preparation for revival. It is the work of preparation. The first thing we see is every valley shall be exalted. Every valley shall be exalted. Number one, the work of preparation. Number one, some things need to be lifted up. Some things need to be lifted up. Every valley shall be exalted refers to a filling process. What is a valley? A valley is a crevice, a gutter, a low place. This speaks to us about the areas in our lives that are lacking, spiritually speaking, okay? There are low spots in your walk with the Lord. There are low spots in my walk with the Lord. And those places that are in our life, they must be filled in before revival can come. Those valleys, they have to be lifted up. Those low things, those low parts in your life, they must be filled up. These valleys have various names. Valleys have various names. They could have names such as name, but just some things that might be a valley in your life, that your Bible reading is at an all-time low. That's a valley. You know what? You know what you can do? It's up to you to get out of that valley. You really don't need, we need God's help in every area of our life, but it's a decision that you need to make. And this is what you need to do. When this broadcast is over, when this service is over, you need to get that book out, you need to open it up, and you need to confess before Almighty God that you haven't been reading your Bible. You don't give the Bible what it needs in your life. This could just be one area of our life. It's a valley that needs to be filled up. We need to fill it up. Orders for the Christian life, they come from the Word of God. We talked about that. We've talked about that over and over again. Valleys. Maybe there's a valley today in your life that needs to be filled up, and it's not just your Bible time, but your prayer life, the prayer life. It could be that there is a valley in your life today of a marital issue, and your wife knows about it, and you know about it, and there's a struggle going on, and you haven't been praying together about it and seeking the Lord to help you. It's a valley right now. You don't even want to talk about it. It's something you would just as soon ignore. Folks, if we're going to get serious and get real about preparing and getting ready that the glory of God might be revealed in us, there's going to be some areas of our life that have got to be filled up. They're low right now, and it's time that we as God's children, with God's help, fill them up. We must look into our lives today with the eyes of the Holy Spirit of God, asking Him to identify the areas of our life that need to be filled in, and ask God daily to help us never to allow that area of our life to go low, never to get to the place where we don't hunger and thirst for the Word and hunger and thirst for talking to God. I look at our church, Anchor Baptist Church. It's not our church. It's the church of the living God. And everyone should be involved in the local church. Everyone should be involved. Maybe today you look at your life and you say, where am I involved? This is a valley for me. I'm not involved. Pastor Turner, how can I be more involved? This is 2021 and all of this and that. And we could come up with every excuse in the book. Look, the devil's going to give you an excuse to not be involved. It's time that we stopped listening to the devil and started listening to the Holy Spirit of God, and you've got a valley right now, and that valley, as Isaiah said, it needs to be exalted, it needs to be lifted up, and your involvement in the church of the living God needs to get back where God wants it to be. Why? Because it's work. We're preparing. We want to be ready for that reviving, that the glory of God might be revealed in us. So some things have got to be lifted up, number one. Number two, what he says. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Okay? What's that mean? Well, it's the opposite, right? Number two, some things need to be lowered down. Some things need to be lowered down. This refers, every mountain and every hill made low, refers to a lowering process. We know this, that a mountain, we have them all over the place here, don't we? They're beautiful. A mountain or a hill, we don't have any hills, we have mountains. They have hills in Ontario, okay? Sorry, people from Ontario. And I guess they have mountains there too. It's something that stands taller than the landscape around it. Mountains. You know, mountains, though, are kind of, they're also barriers, right? You realize here in BC, we have so many mountains that it's hard to get places sometimes because the mountains are in the way. Now, they're beautiful, and when it comes to getting around, it's much easier to fly over top of them. And we just saw Brother Hallmark here late earlier, and he was in Prince George yesterday at this time, and now he's down here. If you drive to Prince George, I think it's 8 to 10 hours. And I don't know, I think there's probably some mountains you've got to weave in and out of. I remember flying up to Terrace a couple of times. What was a two-hour flight? A two-hour flight would take 16 to 18 hours in a car in good weather because you've got to go around this all these mountains. You see, mountains, while they're beautiful, there's an illustration, though. Mountains are also barriers. I wonder this afternoon, what barriers in your life need to be lowered down? What barriers in my life? What barriers need to be lowered down? Mountains have hindered the efforts to explore the world and go where many explorers want to go. I'm not talking about in a literal sense of their majesty. They are beautiful, but in a spiritual sense, Isaiah says the mountains and the hills must be made low, so that, in verse 5, the glory of the Lord can be revealed. I believe, number two, that some things must be lowered down. I believe these mountains, the application for me, I'm speaking how God has dealt with me, is that there are some barriers and roadblocks in my life that are hindering my preparation for revival. And they must be lowered down. What are those? What are some potential barriers of revival in your life? I wrote this one down. Little to no faith. Little to no faith. And yes, I understand faith grows and faith grows and faith grows, but there's no reason why on a regular basis we shouldn't be asking for God to increase our faith. There is no reason that we as God's children should not on a daily basis. Again, can you just follow my thinking here? A lot of times we look at the word faith and we think of, oh man, I would never be able to offer my son on an altar like Abraham. Wow, that was a lot of faith. But do you know that wasn't the beginning of Abraham's faith journey? God spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to move and go here. And when, which is very small compared to put your son on an altar and put a knife through him. The point is this: God is bringing you and me to a point in our life of greater faith, but it starts with small faith. And we yield that small faith to the Lord, and when God deals with us, we move by faith. We don't hesitate. We don't fear. We know God is leading because we've been in His Word and the valleys have been filled up. And now we're saying, God, help me to crush that mountain of doubt. Oh, those mountains of doubt. They've prevented so many of God's people, myself included, from seeing and preparing for the great revival that's coming in my life. I want that mountain of doubt to be crushed. Don't you? And how does that happen? It happens by living in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis. And when those small things that seem so insignificant work out, we got to stop and we got to say, that's a faith builder right there. And we got to write it down if we need to. We got to go to our knees and say, God, thank you for this. It seems so small, but it's not small. It's something that's crushing the doubt out of my life for the next time when the challenge is even greater, then we have something to go back and think about. God did this, God did this, God did this. So I think sometimes if we're not careful, we're going to be guilty of, I can't do like that. But there's something in your life today, tomorrow, this week, should the Lord tarry, that don't let doubt get in the way. Get that mountain and crush it down. There could be a barrier or a mountain today in your life that needs to be lowered down of hypocrisy, of
hypocrisy.
Oh, my. Saying one thing and doing another. You know, we used to give the illustration of this, acting one way at church and acting another way at home. That illustration kind of is not in effect right now, is it? But in a far greater way, I think it's revealed itself. You say, what do you mean? Well, I think you know, and I say this with the utmost love as possible, you know whether or not you're being a hypocrite. As a child of God, what am I saying? As a child of God, you don't need somebody to see you doing something. Because God is seeing you do something. God is seeing me live my life. And I tell you what, especially maybe in the men, I don't know, ladies, we'll give you off on this one. I think in the men, a lot of times, the pride comes up so high that we just put on this personification when we're going to church, and yet that's really not who we are. I want to challenge you men lovingly to get the hammer of the Word of God out and smash that mountain of hypocrisy. You can't be a hypocrite and say, I'm waiting for revival. It's never going to come. Never going to come. The glory of God is not going to be revealed through a hypocrite. A fake. I'm not saying someone who's not saved, but I'm saying someone who talks one game and plays another. Look, we need revival. We need to be serious about this thing. And yes, it's possible that some people put their tie, put their suit, lace up their shoes, carry the Bible, and they're as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. They've never been genuinely saved. Again, I have no indication except by your fruits you shall know them. And I'm not trying to say you're not saved, but what I am trying to say is there are too many mountains that need to be smashed in your life and mine, and God can help us. God will help us to smash the mountains that need to be smashed so that we can prepare for revival. The mountain of doubt, the mountain of hypocrisy, the mountain of pride, the mountain of lust, the mountain of jealousy. There's areas of our life that need to be lifted up. We might look at those as being the things that are right to do that we're not doing. We need to lift those up. And then there's the areas of our life that we are doing that we shouldn't be doing, and we need to hammer those down. This is all by the power of God, though, in our life. Some things need to be lifted up. Some things need to be lowered down. What else do we have here quickly? The crooked shall be made straight. Crooked shall be made straight. Verse number 4 again. The crooked shall be made straight. Number 3, some things need to be lined up. Some things need to be lined up. The word crooked comes from a word that means deceitful, sly, or slippery. I was coming out of the house last Sunday, speaking of a week difference, and I came out of the house, and I think I told you maybe last week, I hit this spot that was icy, but I didn't know it was icy because it had a thin layer of snow all. And I wish we had a camera on the front of our house that we could review the, you know, what goes on, a security camera. You know, they have some of those in the doorbells. They're actually cameras. Because I would really like to see how that looked, a replay, because it was, there wasn't a whole lot of grace. But thankfully, I stayed on all twos, right? It speaks of a road that is deceptive in nature. Slippery, crooked. It promises one thing and delivers another, kind of like the hypocrite we were talking about earlier. Not exactly, though. It appears to be level. It appears to be easy. But when we travel it, it becomes quickly known to us that it's hazardous. And a fall is imminent. I still remember riding with Brother Malazzo. And I guess Pastor Nathan would have been on the same ride. Maybe a little different road, I don't know. But I remember when he picked me up and took me to Sagada. No, he didn't take me to Sagada. Baguio, thank you. And from one point to Baguio, I don't remember where it was on the journey. It was quite a ways outside of Manila, but boy, I tell you what, there wasn't a lot of space. There wasn't a lot of space between the side of the vehicle, that I was in. And I mean, it was crooked. It was narrow. We were winding around. Oh, it was adventuresome. But I'm glad he was driving. He did a great job. He's a great navigator. That's exactly what it's talking about here. If I want revival in my life, I'm going to have to identify areas of my life where I have taken the wrong road and get back on track with God. The crooked needs to be made straight. Teenagers, the crooked needs to be made straight. Teenagers, can I challenge you with your friends? I mean, right now, very little contact between the church teenagers, unless you're doing it maybe texting or whatever. Again, I'm not advocating necessarily. I'm just saying that's one way to communicate. But, you know, be careful. You have friends in the public school. And again, I'm not, this isn't a message against the public school, but I think you need to be careful about who your closest friends are, because a lot of times our closest friends aren't going to help us, especially those that are not saved. They're not going to help us to remain on the straight and narrow. They're only going to cause us. And it's, we make the decisions, but we don't want to put ourselves under that strong influence of making our way crooked. You think about this, and I don't mean to belabor this because it doesn't help, right? But just as an illustration, you know, one year of really no children and teen Sunday school. 1 year of no college and career. Just so you know, we used to have a college and career Sunday school class too. 1 year of no Sunday school. And again, I'm not saying that God can't help us and God's word is sufficient. It is. God's grace is sufficient. But I want to lovingly say to you, especially the young people, the next generation, I want you to examine the road you're on right now. How straight is it? How dangerous is it potentially? And by the way, if your parents come to you and say, I'm a little concerned about this friend, or I'm a little concerned about this, I'm a little concerned about your attitude lately, don't rebel. They love you and they're not trying to harm you and make life miserable for you. They have been down life's road a little bit, and your response to them is as hard as it is, but pride, I know, is so difficult, even in teenagers. I was one time. But what we want to be sensitive to is, here's someone, here's a parent, here's a mom and a dad. They love me. They care for me. They provide for me. You don't pay rent where you live. They take care of you. I'm saying, God takes care of you, but it's through your parents. And when they come to you with that type of concern, or you know, if you do have a phone, you know, I'd like to see your phone. I'd like to see who you've been communicating with. If they did that, is there going to be any crooked ways in there? And parents, this is a good help to us, my hand is up, that we are investing in the lives of our children. They are simple. Hello. I'm not that advanced either, but I know they're simple. They need help to be guided to become wise. That's why they're in my care right now. That's why they're in your care right now. And if you as a dad and you as a mom, if we are not working on our crooked ways, what do we think our kids are going to do? So this crooked, it could be that you've allowed work. You've allowed work to keep you from being prepared for the revival. Is work bad? No, work's not bad. But work shouldn't be our God. Work should not be something that controls our schedule to the point of completely eliminates our walk with God. It's a path that we've all gone down possibly, or we've kind of ventured down that and we have to recognize, oh, wait a minute, this is really taking control of my life. Well, if I just get this, if I get a little bit of overtime here, a little bit of overtime here, it'll help me financially. No, you know what will help us financially the most? Tithing, giving offerings, and asking for God's help financially. I'm not going to tell you that if you tithe and give offerings, you're never going to have a financial difficulty. It could happen. It does happen. But you know what? That's not the end of it. We pray, say, God, would you please supply my needs? God, you've promised to take care of me. Don't go into something in the way of the world or in the way of what you think will figure it out. That could end very It's a crooked path. It's not a straight path. And you don't know where it may end. That's what I'm trying to say. You get on the road and it looks all and good and well, and then boom, bridge out. And then what do you have to do? You have to backtrack all the way back to where you began. So some roads need to be, some things need to be lined up. Are you walking a path that God can bless today? There's one more. Notice the last phrase says, some rough places, plain. Some rough places, plain. This refers to a smoothing process. Some things have to be leveled out. Some things have to be leveled out. I saw Pastor Nathan using a level recently when working here at the office. And you want to have the bubble in the middle, right? Some things have to be leveled out. The word rough there, verse 4, refers to that which is impassable. It refers to a roughness or being bound up. It speaks to those areas in our life that are rough. They may be questionable. It's an area of our life where we know that we could do better, but we don't. You know, the verse that came to mind is 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and it's a very simple verse, but it's a very applicable many times in our life. It says this: abstain from all appearance of evil. The focus, I believe, in that verse is the word appearance. The appearance. Well, this isn't wrong, but is it rough? Is it a rough place? Is it pointing people to Christ? Is it pointing you to an intimate walk, more close walk with the Lord? We need to examine our lives and see about those rough places in our life. Address them. Don't tolerate things in your life that are taking you away from God or slightly away from God. Let's confess them and forsake them. Straighten it out. Level it off. Fill it up. Pound it down. It's kind of a four-way thought process here, but what are we looking at? It's a preparation. Maybe you need two of those. Maybe you need one. Maybe you need all four. Point is this: we all need something in there, and it's about preparing. Let's read verse 5 again, please. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. I believe there's an application regarding the coming of the Lord. All flesh shall see it. That's an application, the primary one. But I also believe there's a secondary application, that revival, when it comes, people will know that it's come to my life. People will know. First off, people will know when someone gets saved. They're going to know, what happened to you? You don't say four-letter words anymore like you used to, curse words like you used to. Maybe you have a habit, and you eventually, God helps you. We heard testimony today from someone who God helped him stop smoking. That's a great testimony. This individual said, he said, I finally realized I smelled like smoke all the time. And I wasn't being a good testimony. You see, God helped him. That's only of the Lord. Only God could do that. But the point is, what happens when we fill some things up? Push some things down, level some things out, straighten some things out, line some things up. What happens? The glory of the Lord is revealed in us. When you get saved, but also when you get serious. When we get serious. Sold out, whatever you want to call it. People will notice. It isn't so that we can say, yeah, I'm somebody. No. Notice what it says. That the glory of the Lord is revealed. That's what the lost world. They don't need somebody that looks slightly better than them, slightly improved. No, they need to see an example of someone who has been completely transformed by the power of God. Someone that has complete peace and joy and love and all of the fruit of the Spirit and everything. Why? So that they can be saved and they can want what we have, not because of us, but because the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Revival comes. Revival comes. Real revival comes when the work of preparation is put in by whoever it may be. Are you willing? Are you willing to prepare for revival? It's work. Don't look at revival as being this far out thing that we've been reaching for all eternity. Look at revival as being you getting up every day, opening up this book, opening up your mind to this book, opening your heart of prayer to the God of heaven who wants to talk to you as a believer, looking for that one verse that jumps off the page. Make a note about it in a notebook. Write the verse out. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it in your pocket. Carry it with you through the day. Praying for this specific need, God meeting things, and them happening time and time and time again. You know what that is? That's revival beginning anew and afresh in your life and mine. It's not this big supernatural experience that just poof, something happens in the skies. No, it's every day. And one day leads to 10. 10 leads to 5 years, and on it goes. And it's just a life lived in the presence of God. And you know what happens? It doesn't stop with you. It goes to the next generation, your children and mine. And we give them something of eternal value, which is far greater than anything we could give them, where moth and rust are going to corrupt and where thieves are going to break through and steal. But what we give them is that revived, sold-out life, not perfect, not worthy. Humble, we need to be humble. I'm not saying it's all about us. No, remember, it's about the glory of God being revealed in us. Join me. I'm not where I need to be, okay? I'm working, preparing. I'm preparing. God, keep working on me. Did you like that little song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's my prayer. God, I'm not revival material yet. But if you give me tomorrow, I want to get up. I want to get in your word once again. Just like it's the first day I've opened this book. And I'm going to be searching, making preparation,